Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one and I walk alone.
Probably 6 months ago or so, a federal judge issued a ruling that basically asked the FDA to take a regulatory action about fluoride, and specifically fluoridation. And that really caught my attention. It was actually an issue that my wife has raised for years, but I just hadn't really found time to delve into the scientific study supporting it. But when this federal judge issued this ruling, I decided that I really needed to better understand the scientific literature here. And so I started doing that. I read primary papers, I read the judge's ruling, I read parts of the National Toxicology Program report that supported the judge's ruling.
This is Joe Latipo, the Surgeon General for the state of Florida, talking at the Lee County Commission meeting on Monday of this week, and talking to them as a concerned citizen and also the senior health official for the entire state of Florida about their proposal to eliminate fluoride in the Lee County unincorporated areas for Lee County water. Lee County, like our county, is a mixed county. Of course, it has cities in it that they don't control. I think Cape Coral is in Lee County, right? Is Fort Myers also in Lee County? I don't know. My grandparents lived there for forever, so I don't know as a Florida resident. I know more as a grandson. But still, you know, they were kind of talking about that. And so he says, look, I didn't know a lot about this issue. I started to see literature, and I thought, you know, and questions about this. And, you know, I figured, well, I ought to look into this. And remember, the reason we're talking about this locally is because you have some activists who have gone to several different meetings, the Pensacola City Council, the Escambia County Commission, at least twice now, including yesterday, and the ECUA meeting, most relevantly, of course, because they do control the water and the decision to fluoridate it. And they have, you know, been trying to raise this as an issue with very strong words and passionate, you know, pleas to at least consider a referendum, which the ECUA is on the path of doing. They didn't agree to have a referendum, but they told staff to, you know, figure out a path so that we can better understand this issue, get community input, and probably go for a referendum and then have some kind of a vote about this to follow. And so there's action slowly happening in Escambia County. But one of the things that these folks pointed to was Joe Latipo. Of course, Joe Latipo is the relatively controversial figure who was brought in by Governor DeSantis in the wake of COVID, because he aligned with DeSantis' views about COVID, among other things. A very accomplished researcher and practicing doctor, of course. And he was, again, talking in Lee County, where they were considering this issue this very week.
And I'll tell you that I was stunned. You know, I was stupefied. I was stupefied by the strength of the evidence that demonstrates clear neurotoxic effects associated with fluoridation, and just the absence, the muteness of any discussion about this in the public health community. It was very jarring to my beliefs.
So he, again, somebody who did not know an awful lot about this issue by his own admission, got into reading and researching about it, and he says he was stupefied by how clear the information was and how little of it had been shared publicly. I certainly don't care to claim that I have anywhere near the level of medical knowledge or scientific reading and information that Joe Latipo has, but I kind of had the same experience. You know, I was thought of anti-fluoride crusaders as, you know, kind of conspiracy nuts and, you know, the kind of people who would, tell you to be worried about everything from cell phones to chemtrails in the sky to, you know, moon landing has been faked. I mean, sort of all anti-vaxxing, you know, kind of all falling in that same category. And, the more I listen to the arguments and think about the issue of imposing a medicine on everybody without their consent, which is what we're doing in the water, and the ethics around that, and then the very question of whether fluoride is necessary these days in 2025, you know, I see their point. You know, I don't know that I'm 100% on their side, but certainly I'm more on their side than I would have been if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago.
But indeed, the scientific literature about this is very unequivocal. So I know that I overheard the gentleman before me already discussing some of it, but just to be very clear, there are multiple studies, many of them, that show in other countries where levels of fluoridation are higher, a very clear relationship. It's something that we call a dose-response relationship in science. It's one of the most compelling types of evidence that you can identify outside of a randomized clinical trial. And what a dose-response relationship is a relationship where the more of something you're exposed to, the more powerful, the worse the effects. And the less of something, the less the effects. And that really is a strong evidence for what we like to call causality, which is to say that there's a tethered relationship between an exposure and an outcome. And that's exactly what you see with the neuropsychiatric effects. You see it with the IQ, you see it with things like attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you see it with other behavioral issues. So that's very clear.
So he's saying that across the literature, you see this causal relationship. The more fluoride, the more the problems. The less fluoride, the less, but still there are of those same problems. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned the other day is the idea that some of the studies, in fact, you know, really the indication is looking at higher concentrations of fluoride in the water, like 1.5 parts per million versus what we have here, which is 0.7 parts per million, which is the recommendation by the CDC. But, you know, he says, look, it's not just that. That's not the only place where you see it.
The argument that people who want to continue fluoridating at this time often put forward is that, well, all of that evidence is from communities with higher levels of fluoride than what we use in this country. And that is no longer true. So there's a physician, there's a professor at University of Florida named Dr. Ashley Mallon, and she's actually published studies from populations in the United States, in Canada, areas where the levels of fluoridation are the same as what we do here. And those studies have found the exact same thing. So in other words, this dose response relationship, which is not contested by anyone, that is present at higher levels of fluoride, is also present at lower levels of fluoride that we see in this country.
So it becomes a question of, well, obviously, are there balancing benefits that outweigh the risks? Because the risks are particularly pregnant women and young children. That's the primarily vulnerable populations. And you have the concern that it's not just the percentage in the drinking water, which is very low, but it's enough to protect the teeth. It's not enough to harm you is kind of the theory. And he's saying, well, there's still a harm. And people get fluoride from elsewhere. And, of course, if you drink a lot of water and it's, you know, not tap, not bottled, it doesn't, you know, and you also brush your teeth and you get more fluoride in a lot of different ways than is necessary. And that can start to be a problem as well. And so he says, look, it's clear that we ought to be getting rid of fluoride in the water. And he has, you know, been advocating for this now for a couple of months. And several communities have done this, including Niceville.
So at this point, I'm trying to think of a word that won't be taken the wrong way to describe the notion of continuing to support this. I mean, it's insane to continue to support this with the information that we have now.
The Surgeon General of the state of Florida says it's insane to continue to support fluoridating the water given the current information.
And, you know, and who suffers the most? Well, so far, it's children and pregnant women. Those are the most sensitive populations. That's where the strongest data are. And, you know, obviously, especially for our children, just why on earth would we ever continue to expose them to something that's totally avoidable?
And, you know, the natural objection, the most obvious objection against eliminating fluoride in the water is, well, why do we put it there in the first place? And, you know, I think, and the answer is, of course, for oral health, for particularly poor people, but in general, the population. And I think we all have the, you know, anecdotal evidence that we have, you know, in our family, we have older people, let's say 65, 70 plus, okay, where we, and some younger too, but where we know those people have fake teeth. Right? And great grandma, you know, Nobody's great-grandma had real teeth anymore. Why? Didn't have fluoride. Right? I mean, that's true. So how do you solve for that? We don't want to go back to the 60s in terms of oral health. Oh, my God. The 60s were 60 years ago. Anyway. Anyway, we don't want to go back to the long ago prehistoric times of the 1960s. Anyway, but the question is, well, are there not enough benefits to outweigh? Right? Which is always, you know, cost. So there's the cost-benefit analysis piece. And if there is enough benefit to outweigh the cost, you then still have the question of, well, is the marginal cost benefit enough to outweigh the question of causing people to have this who do not want it, right? The, you know, the involuntary imposition of the medical therapy of having fluoride, which is, I mean, that's what it is. It's medical therapy, you know, for dental benefit, right? That's the idea. And so he took that question on, you know, what about the benefits?
And on the other side, you know, does fluoride have dental benefits? That's definitely been shown. But, and I don't want to undermine those. It's very, dental health is extremely important. You know, brushing your teeth, flossing. But even on the benefit side, the Cochrane Review, I think just last year, published a new review that showed that before 1975, the benefits of fluoridation for dental health were more substantive. But all of the studies, when they reviewed the studies since 1975, there's very little effect. In fact, their report actually says that there may not be any benefit to water fluoridation. And those are their, like, that's, those are their words. So it's just on the benefit side, it's shaky, especially with the wide access we have to fluoridated toothpaste and mouthwash at this point. And it's cheap, it's affordable.
Yeah, it's very affordable. And also remember that poor people have access through Medicaid to dental care, dentists, right? They have, now transportation can still be an issue, getting people to take advantage of that. Kids not getting what the parents have eligibility for. Those are all fair kind of counter questions. But the availability of access to dental care is pretty universal. You either have the money to take care of it, you have the money to buy toothpaste and mouthwash, or you have free access through some kind of subsidized government access. So the Lee County Commission, it was considering this question on Monday of this week, and Joe Latipo was merely one of the speakers. There were many others in the public, of course, who talked, but I'm just sharing you the one that's most relevant to you because he's the, you know, senior government authority here in the state of Florida on health matters. And so they took it to a vote.
Motion on the floor. I have a second. I think we've had discussion. Anyone else like to talk? Seeing none, I'll close discussion. Anyone opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Unanimously, just like that, Lee County got rid of fluoride in their water. I don't know whether to say it's a movement in the state of Florida, but it has been several entities have done this recently. And certainly with the Surgeon General advocating for it, it's not that surprising. And the evidence. And it's really, it's one of these classic examples of a topic on which most everybody thinks the solution, the proper landing part is settled. And so you don't think much about it, and you probably have a little bit of contempt or arrogance, or like I said, you know, I always thought that, you know, well, these are the same people that think that the, you know, the planes are putting chemicals in the air, right? You know, that's, you know, I don't really need to listen to these people all that well. And then, but I did what a good, reasonable person does, and when I hear a handful of people bring up the same thing again and again at the county meetings, I pay attention and think, well, do they have something? And with Joe Latipo and with the research papers and the judicial ruling to tell the EPA to reconsider its stance on whether it should recommend fluoride in the water, I did my research. And I think it's very easy. Okay, it's very easy to support the idea that we ought to at least have a referendum. If you support the referendum, you might also support the idea of from the referendum, because it was based on a 1994 referendum here in Escambia County that passed by 58%. So not an overwhelming majority back then, a very contentious debate. Would it pass again today? Don't know. Run the experiment. So you might say we ought to have a referendum at the least. If the referendum says get rid of the fluoride, then, you know, ECUA still has to decide. Of course, the referendum could say 60% for keeping it. But then you have the secondary question of, well, even if the people want it, does that mean that we should have it? And should we have it again imposed on the, let's say, minority, if it still is, of people who don't want it in their water because they have concerns about the health consequences? As I've said many times this week, this is going to be the conversation we have as a community. And my only thought about this is I wish we wouldn't be waiting until 2026 to do the referendum. Other counties, other cities seem to be moving with more rapidity. And that seems slow to me, given that at least so far, I haven't seen much of a push from anybody on the other side. As Joe Latipo says, the evidence is overwhelming. He's stupefied by it, and it's insane to keep doing what we're doing. To me, that means don't put it off until a year and a half away. But a year and a half is better than never. But a year and a half is not as good as, say, 3 months or 6 months. Or maybe you say we don't even need a referendum because the evidence is so clear. You don't have to do a poll of the people in order to find out. You could just have a hearing and make a decision as the EC Way Board. 525. And by the way, I think Joe Latipo should come here, and I think EC will actually invite him to come as a as part of a group of informed, you know, information sources that will come and kind of present at the ECUA board meeting. I wouldn't mind if ECUA got rid of it. I'm not saying they should. I don't know how I'd vote as a commissioner just yet, or as a board member just yet. I'd probably vote to remove it at this point, but I still want more information. But I certainly think they should be considering it, and at the very least, they should be having a referendum. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, especially for the first time, get a good real estate agent. Call Christina Leavenworth. Talk to her about what they do, what they recommend, what they think your home is worth, and or you know what you're shopping for and how they can help you. And one of the things I really, really strongly believe is if you can get a great realtor on your first transaction, you'll be like ahead for the rest of your life. Not just ahead financially, that's true. But you'll be ahead in terms of experience and knowledge and the process. And, you know, we had a she wasn't terrible, but she also was not the best realtor, back in Illinois when we bought our first house. And I wish we'd had somebody like Christina Leavenworth or one of her folks to take us through that process for the first time because it would have been completely different. And so that's why you need a good realtor to solve the problems and make sure you're getting, you know, the absolute best outcome that you want. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Want to play a game with me and Dad?
Mommy's not feeling good.
You need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with DayQuil VapoCool. It's DayQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
VapoCool! Whoa.
Come on, honey. Let's let Mommy rest.
You guys are amazing. And so is DayQuil VapoCool.
DayQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing daytime coughing, aching, fever, power through your day medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Is this the gentleman who crashed through Victor Maitland's window? Who disabled a non-marked unit with a banana?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, 529 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A California utility company is acknowledging videos that suggest there may be a link between their equipment and the devastating Eaton Fire in the Los Angeles area. According to a filing, Southern California Edison, though, has not identified any evidence to confirm that link. They said they didn't find any broken conductors or evidence of faults where the fire started. That fire killed 17 people, burned 14,000 acres. There's a search on in Alaska. A plane with 10 people on board went missing. The Bering Air Caravan flight was headed to Nome when it was reported overdue on Thursday. The Coast Guard said it was 12 miles offshore when they lost contact. And Google says they will no longer pursue diversity hiring goals. A spokesperson confirmed that this week, saying that they are a federal contractor, so they're evaluating additional changes required after court decisions and executive orders by President Trump.
See, this is that, you know how we always warn entities that if you get involved with government funding, you're going to be obligated to obey government strings? You know, depending on how you view things, that can be good or bad, but it's always the risk of being part of any government enterprise is if they change the rules, you'll have to agree or give up your money.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Accused of wasting taxpayer money, the main U.S. international aid agency, USAID, is having its workforce cut from about 10,000 employees to under 300.
Unions are suing the Trump administration over the cuts. The American Foreign Service Association and American Federation of Government Employees says these actions have generated a global humanitarian crisis. By abruptly halting the crucial work of USAID, employees, grantees, and contractors, they have cost thousands of American jobs and they have imperiled U.S. national security interests.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson, a plane has gone missing over western Alaska.
The plane carrying 9 people and a pilot was 12 miles offshore when its position was lost. At the time, a Federal Aviation Administration weather camera near Nome appeared to show near whiteout conditions.
It's Fox's Chandler Painter. Weather is limiting the air search. There are ground crews searching the coast. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 66 degrees. It is a foggy morning here in Pensacola. Construction on Century's Freedom Road Bridge is expected to start in May this year. The bridge has been closed now for 5 years after it was deemed unsafe. That meant longer than normal commutes for residents that live in that area. Interim Century Mayor Alicia Johnson says the bridge will be completely replaced. The project is expected to cost about $1.3 million. The town received that money from a legislative appropriation. If the construction starts on schedule in May, a new bridge could be completed by February of next year. Florida Congresswoman Maria Elvira Salazar says she's hoping a deal can be reached with the Trump administration to avert the deportation of Venezuelans from the U.S., with the end of TPS in April.
We're talking about a group of people that are here in the United States helping the economy, have American children. They have set root in this country, and they need to stay with some type of legality.
Before leaving office, President Biden extended TPS until October of next year, but Trump set an April 7th deadline for deportation. A frat at the University of Central Florida has been suspended. UCF is investigating Phi Gamma Delta for a hazing allegation, which dates back to 2023 when two students were apparently blindfolded and forced to hold swastikas. UCF said it was appalled and unequivocally condemns hazing and acts of anti-Semitism. Phi Gamma Delta's national leadership said it's helping UCF with their investigation. During the suspension, the frat will not be able to participate in any spring rush activities. Governor DeSantis seems open to the idea of eliminating FEMA. He was in Tampa yesterday to visit the Florida State Fair and the annual Governor's Luncheon. President Trump has proposed getting rid of FEMA. DeSantis said it would make hurricane recovery quicker. He also said cutting the bureaucracy of FEMA out entirely would allow the money to go further in greater amounts. DeSantis also addressed DOGE and said that he thought Elon Musk was doing really good. He called it the first real significant intrusion into the bureaucrats' aura of invincibility. Well, after delays and setbacks, the USS United States now is finally set to begin her voyage to Northwest Florida to become the world's largest artificial reef. Okaloosa County's Tourism Development Department says that ship will be leaving its docking area in Philadelphia and head towards Mobile this weekend. That trip could take up to 2 weeks.
Once the United States is in the port of Mobile, it'll be prepared to be sunk in the Gulf. Contractors will remove any hazardous material, non-metal parts, and fuel. Modifications will also be made so the ship will land upright when it's sunk. The exact location for the reef hasn't been set as of yet, but officials say it should be about 20 nautical miles to the south of Destin. 5:35, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Dense fog advisory in place for this morning. Fog will burn off as you go into the afternoon. High today near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62 with fog possible as you go into the overnight and into Saturday morning. For Saturday, partly cloudy skies, high near 73. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. And right now, we've got 66 degrees in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Ra ra ah ah ah, Roma Roma ma ga ga, ooh la la, what you about romance? Ra ra ah ah ah, Roma.
If we could ever come together, it would be unbelievable. May not happen, but it should, and maybe it will. From the earliest days of our republic, faith in God has always been the ultimate source of the strength that beats in the hearts of our nation. We have to bring religion back. We have to bring it back much stronger. It's one of the biggest problems that we've had over the last fairly long period of time. We have to bring it back.
You know, it's interesting listening to, there were actually two speeches the president gave yesterday at the, I couldn't figure it out because they were, one backdrop was different from the other one. But, you know, they were both at the prayer breakfast, so pardon me for not understanding the context exactly. But the early one, which we carried in its entirety, and then the later one, which was a little more, in parts, kind of rambly, stump speechy, sort of, so to speak. But it was interesting to hear some of the things he had to say, like a plea for unity, which, you know, well, don't you know how divisive he is? Yeah, yeah. But what we would hope is we could all see the light and come together. You know, it's... I kind of feel for the president on this because I find myself often in the same situation. Like, I know on the one hand, it's good to work for unity. And it's good to reach across the aisle. And it's good to be reasonable. It's good to present both sides. And I also understand that, you know, but one side may be right. You know, and it's a difficult thing, okay, to have a very strong belief about which side is right. And also to want to engage in dialogue, respectful, civil, you know, dialogue with people who are on the other side. So it's a, you know, the president is certainly not alone in, you know, feeling the dichotomy there or feeling the tension there.
Miss Jefferson himself once attended Sunday services held in the old House chamber on the very ground where I stand today. So there could be nothing more beautiful than for us to gather in this majestic place. It is majestic, and reaffirm that America is and will always be one nation under God.
Yeah, so listening to him talking about the history of people, major figures, right, who had this view and the importance of religion in America.
At every stage of the American story, our country has drawn hope and courage and inspiration from our trust in the Almighty. Deep in the soul of every patriot is the knowledge that God has a special plan and a glorious mission for America. And that plan is going to happen. It's going to happen. I hope it happens sooner rather than later. It's going to happen. And it's His hand that guides us every single step of the way.
And talking about some of the other figures that are, I mean, incredibly important to the founding, like John Winthrop.
Just steps away from here in the Hall of Columns is the statue of John Winthrop, who famously proclaimed that America would stand as a city upon a hill, a light to all nations, with the eyes of all people upon us. Today, almost 400 years after that famous sermon, we see that with the Lord's help, the city stands taller and shines brighter than ever before, or at least it soon will.
Of course, talking about his own initiatives to try to, you know, enhance religion in the United States and, you know, raise an awareness and kind of, you know, bring a resurgence to religion. Now, I will tell you, and I've said this before, so I don't think it's any surprise, but where the president is in his spiritual relationship with God, I think is a very open question, okay? Some people, you know, huge Trump supporters, Trump trainers, whatever you want to call yourself, Trumpers, the kind of people who would wear a MAGA hat, I would say to a person are convinced that Donald Trump is a born-again, devoted, evangelical lover of God. And he may be. But other side, and including, you know, my own observations, is that there's an awful lot of other in the president's speech and behavior. And when it comes to things like taking correction, humility, you know, kindness, charity, love, joy, peace, patience, you know, fruit of the spirit kind of stuff, you could also pretty well make the case against. Now, he had this encounter, this, you know, death-defying encounter, and there's, again, a lot of people who are convinced that that had a major impact on him, and I think you could definitely see it at the RNC shortly thereafter. All I'm saying is the president is definitely adopting speech patterns here and, you know, content here that is advocating for religion, for conversion, representing faith, and I don't mind that. That's fine. You know, I certainly prefer that to the alternative, but just... The question of how authentic it is, I think you should be cautious. And also, you know, let's take for granted that he really is a relatively new, let's say in the last couple of years, I mean, of a life that's 80 years, you know, the last several years, a relatively recent, you know, convert, let's say. New converts are always eager, but they make a lot of mistakes. And even longtime converts still make a lot of mistakes. You know, we don't get fixed in a day. Or ever. And so it's just be cautious in this regard. You know, sometimes we take like, who was the British actor with the curly black hair? I just can't think of his name right now. Russell Brand, who became a Christian relatively recently, like a year or two ago. And then, you know, had all kinds of Instagram posts and all kinds of, and then, you know, kind of did some silly stuff. And it's just, you know, be cautious. It's first of all, it's an awful lot of pressure to put on a public figure to, you know, who's made big changes in their life. But also you get too eager and they get too eager and, you know, it's, I don't know, just, it's one of those very dicey areas. John, I know you're very familiar with what I'm talking about. Do you want to add anything to the way I'm saying it? But all of that is kind of just is, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Yeah. Anyway, so back to Trump, and, you know, I'm not saying this is a way of trying to, you know, impugn his faith or besmirch his faith. I just, there's a lot to be said here, and I'm trying to say just enough to make it where you get why, where my kind of head is, and without, you know, dwelling on this too much. So he, in the second speech, which in some ways was more interesting, you know, he talked about how faith needs to come back and religion needs to come back, and even announced a new initiative that he's put forward, an executive order to create a religious Christianity task force, basically.
Some say the most consequential election in 129 years, and that's good because I'm a believer, like you're a believer, and we want to have a believer in this position.
And also the monkeys are believers. In the background in my head, there's always pop culture, and so, you know, when somebody says I'm a believer, I'm always hearing music.
To confront such weaponization and religious persecution, today I'm signing an executive order to make our Attorney General, who's a great person, she's going to be a great Attorney General, Pam Bondi, the head of a task force, brand new, to eradicate anti-Christian bias. About time, right? Anti-Christian bias. The mission of this task force will be to immediately halt all forms of anti-Christian targeting and discrimination within the federal government, including at the DOJ, which was absolutely terrible, the IRS, the FBI, terrible, and other agencies.
Yeah, and we have seen an awful lot of that, especially under the most recent administration, and so he's trying to root that out.
Because here in America, we are once again a nation that believes in ourselves, we believe in our destiny, and trusts in the providence of Almighty God. And I can tell you, the opposite side, the opposing side, and they oppose religion, they oppose God, they've lost their confidence. They've lost their confidence. It's a different group of people than I remember.
And that, I thought, was very interesting, to say that the other side opposes God. And at first I wasn't clear, because he'd been talking in the context of international things, whether he meant, you know, sort of Democrats, or whether he meant, you know, Russia, China, Iran. And I went back and looked, and I think he does mean Democrats. He's saying the other side, the people who have been doing the persecuting under the guise of religion, you know, or under the guise of whatever they want to call it, that they have been opposing God. And that's another one of these, like, man, I don't disagree, but man, you got to be careful, because people can love God and be misguided, be misinformed. People can, you know, think they've got the right path and, you know, be on the wrong one. And anybody who's wielding the power of government with the confidence of a convert, a prophet, a true believer, is very prone to make mistakes, very prone to do horrible, terrible things, even as they think they're doing very, very good things. So just want to be cautious about that.
There is no recourse more precious than the faith in the hearts of our people. It's the thing that makes our nation great. It makes other nations great. When you don't have it, you don't see great nations. Without God, we are isolated and alone, but with God, the scripture tells us all things are possible. Well, look at me. I'm standing before you today. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here.
And he said that before, and that to me is one of the, you know, if you wanted this question of, you know, what sort of faith does Trump have? To what degree is he sincere? How Christian or general or whatever is it? I do think there's something there. He definitely was changed by the assassination attempt. How much that persists, how much you fall back into old patterns. I mean, you know, I've been a Christian for, geez, I have to do the math on it, but 28 years or something like that. And I still don't get it. And I still fall back into old. I mean, that's normal. And it's certainly true for if you're relatively new to the faith. Somebody texts in here. This is interesting. Somebody says, I'm so disappointed in hearing me. They're talking about me questioning Trump's faith. They're talking about evaluating it. I'm so disappointed in hearing you say that. Who are we to judge or to authenticate someone's relationship with God? None of us are perfect Christians. And I wrote back, I said, well, the Bible literally tells us to judge them by their fruits. The Bible literally says that. Jesus says this. We should be cautious and humble in their judgment, but we are told to evaluate people by their behavior and their character. So both are true. Both are true. You know, that we should be cautious and humble, and we shouldn't be strident, but we are definitely told to judge and pay attention. How else will you know sheep from wolves? You know, there's both, right, are in there. And somebody else says, I don't know that he's born again because he's never actually said that. Calling yourself a believer is not a statement of conversion. Okay. I mean, I see where you're getting at. That might be a little bit too, you know, litmus testy. Okay, for me, but I understand where you're coming from with that. I did want to share with you the comments he made toward the end of the speech, which were some of the most interesting Every time he's talking about that assassination attempt, it's always captivating because he's still processing that, which is very understandable. I mean, it's only been, what, 7 months, 6 months? I mean, it's not that long ago, right?
A lot of people said, I shouldn't have been here. A beautiful day in Pennsylvania. It's a shot that should not have been missed. Well, it got me a little bit. It got me a little bit, but pretty amazing. My son, who's a great shooter, Don, both of them, Eric, they said it's like sinking a one-foot putt from where that shooter was with that particular weapon. And I just happened to turn at the right instant, a fraction of a second. If I was late or early, it would have been over. And you would have somebody else speaking today. But got very lucky.
Got very lucky, blessed, miracle, God save me. I think most people who believe in God have had something or many things in their lives where they're like, well, I just can't explain that, but thank goodness, you know, thank God that one worked for me. I know I have those things in my life.
The chart on immigration came down, and I looked to my right. Quickly, I looked to my right. I said, drop that chart. Boom. And I said, man, what was that? So if I didn't make that turn, so it's, you know, my son, Don, said, Dad, I'll tell you, you got saved by God. This is, you know, I shouldn't say this, but that was a big statement for him to make. He was moved, Eric, likewise, because it's, you know, you could say it's a miracle or you could say something, but it was God that saved me. Thank you. But even in the dark, thank you.
I wanted to leave that one part in because that way of responding seemed to me to be so authentic that he's kind of just caught in the moment of overwhelmed by his emotion to their response. You know, and I thought that was really telling. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're a cop! Why'd you know? They're gonna take you to jail for car theft!
Why, did you steal the car?
I sure did!
Well, I gotta ensure that's a crime anymore. There were a lot of changes in the law.
I'm not even sure that's a crime anymore. That was one of my friends. That was one of our favorite quotes all the time from Fletch. I'm not even sure that's a crime anymore. 553 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm getting a number of texts in here talking about this issue of Trump and his faith. And I will say this. If I ever had a chance to do an interview with Trump, and I'm not sure I want to. In fact, I've said before, I don't think I would want to. Because the only thing I would actually want to talk with him about would be his faith. I'm curious. You know, does he read the Bible? Does he attend church in some fashion? You know, what kind of doctrines does he actually believe? What's his favorite verse, if he has one? You know, what sort of prayer practice does he have? Because I don't know. But that would be the only thing I'd really want to interview him about. And I think there's a lot of people that would want to interview him because, you know, on the one hand, he at times makes a very public showing and statement about his faith. And then at other times he seems to give evidence that that's really not there. And it's a very mixed bag. John, you know, right? The same.
Right.
Like,
yeah. That's
it's
what
hard
I was
to
thinking.
Tell. And
right.
And even in an interview, you know, would he feel the need to tell me the things that he's supposed to say, or would he feel comfortable saying the things that are just authentically accurate? Because, you know, that's a question. So David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. The search is on in Alaska after a plane with 10 people on board went missing. The Bering Air Caravan flight was headed to Nome. It was apparently about 12 miles offshore when they lost contact. The NCAA is officially banning transgender athletes from women's college sports. That decision, of course, coming after President Trump signed an executive order Wednesday. The college sports governing body's new policy states that a student athlete assigned male at birth may not compete on a women's team. Transgender athletes were previously allowed to participate in women's sports after 1 year of testosterone suppression treatment.
Did you see the follow-up to that, too? That now, I didn't read into it a lot, but there was at least a request that the NCAA vacate the titles won by people like Leah Thomas, a born male, competed as a woman and, you know, slayed the field kind of thing. You know, that the NCAA would go back in the past and reestablish born women as the rightful owners of those various wins and records. So we'll see what the NCAA is going to do.
Where do you see that going? Do you think they'll do that?
I don't know. I don't know how to predict the NCAA. We're in a whole new world right now. I don't know how to predict
that. Can't predict anything in this world. Andrew, do you feel a cough coming on, a little, you know, anything like that?
I'm okay at the moment.
You're okay at
Ask
the moment?
Ask me today. You never
well,
know.
On Monday, how do you think you're going to feel? Because apparently there's a lot of people expected to call in sick the Monday following the big game, the Super, I don't know. I think I'm allowed to say the Super Bowl.
You are allowed to say the Super Bowl. Yeah. The Super Bowl flu? Is that what they're going to catch?
The Super Bowl flu, yeah.
Super Bowl 24-hour flu?
There's a study out from, who did this? Paycom, that collected data from 6 million employees. They found in 2024 there was a 63% increase in people calling in sick to work the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Oh, man. Super Bowl licks. L-I-X, right? Super
That's,
Bowl licks.
Yeah. Super That's what Bowl I licks. See. Super Bowl licks.
Oh, you know the other great story here locally? 3 Mile Bridge lights are back on. They fixed it.
True.
Yesterday. I mean, I haven't seen with my own eyes, but people are telling me. WEA reported, so I trust that it's true. They got in there and they found what the problem was, and you know, some vacuum something or other things about electrician stuff that I don't know anything about. They like tested all the circuits. All the circuit breakers were fine. That wasn't the issue. And they're now doing an investigation to figure out what caused it. But yay! And apparently
somewhere about halfway down, there's just one little light switch.
It's like the
Somebody
one
flipped
bulb
it and
out
came
in
on,
your
yeah.
Christmas tree lights, right? Yeah. And apparently both the side lights, you know, the decorative lights and also the top lights on the for driving are both on the same system, which I am a complete amateur. Seems like maybe it shouldn't have been done that way, but I certainly don't know enough to know whether that was the right choice or not. But anyway, the lights are back on, so yay. We're good. David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. My phone number if you want to weigh in on anything. This is a little thing, but it's kind of it's a maybe at this point. You know, over in Destin, right at the bridge, when you're going over like Crab Island's to your north, and you're going over that, there's a little beach that's Air Force property right there that you cannot go to that got closed down post-COVID to everybody, but it's been there for a long time, and it's been military only. I think back in the past it was not military only. Okaloosa County is looking at the prospect of acquiring that beach and making it open to the public. Can I tell you, we paddleboard. My wife and I have been paddleboarding now for, I don't know, like a year and a half, I guess, something like that. Maybe it's not that long, but that's been one of those places where, like, man, we really want to go there, but it is such a pain. It's supposed to be great snorkeling in that area, and it is such a pain to get there. But I would love to see that happen. You know, it's just a little outside of our listening area, but for any of you who are sort of local water sports enthusiast, the idea of having access to that little strip of beach for the public. I'm excited. I hope it turns out. I don't want to get my hopes up too high, but I hope so. 437-1620. Gosh, the things that are being done, again, every single day by the president, including the FCC is reviewing a radio station's real-time coverage of an ICE raid. As in, here's where the cops are, here's where the trucks are. Go, run this way if you want to get away from them. As a possible betrayal of the public
local
trust.
News every hour and